We thank God for you folks that have gathered out today, and we're so thankful for those that might not have been here for a while. We've got a lot of folks still out, though, traveling here yonder and about, so you be praying for them. And it's good to have all the folks that we're streaming live to today also, that as we bring a message from the Word of God today. And if you will, I want you to turn with us over in the book of Job this morning. We're going to preach a message that God has given me, and I've preached it before, but hey, in 40 years, you've preached a lot of things before. We're going to talk about something, and I think that we have been in a wonderful Sunday school lesson over the past few weeks, as we've talked about wisdom and knowledge and how we attain that. And I want to speak today about a man that God said was a perfect man, that being the man of Job. And he's talking about his maturity in Christ, by the way, that he was not perfect as God is perfect or Jesus Christ is perfect, but he was mature in Christ. And but Job himself asked three questions that Jesus answered him. And I believe that we need to settle these three questions in our minds today as we go throughout this life. And we're going to talk about those three questions here this morning. And we're so thankful for you. And we'd like to stand as we honor God's word. And I would like for us to, if you will, turn with us to the 14th chapter of the book of Job. And I would like to start reading with about verse 10 and read through verse 14. And we'll be going throughout. And how many of you folks have had points in your life where your whole world has fell apart? How many of you have been over there where that it seems like nothing would ever be right again? Well, I'm here to tell you right now that Job is the book for you and I today, how that man can recover, how women can recover, and no, it's not the end, but it is the beginning. And so I hope that this will be a comfort to someone here today. And as we stand and read God's word, we're starting in Job chapter 14 and verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away, yet man giveth of the ghost, where is he? And as the waters fell from the sea, and the floods decay and dried up, so man lieth down and riseth until the heavens be no more, and shall not awake, nor be risen out of their sleep. O thou that wouldest hide me in the grave, O thou that wouldest keep me secret, until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appointest to me a set time, and remember me. Listen at this question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your blessed word. We just ask that you would give us insight and wisdom. And Lord, that you'd use your instrument today, Lord, as we speak the truth. And Father, we ask that you would go and you would touch the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls today. And Father, that we might reflect on the things that matter. Put the things of this world away, Father, for this time of sanctuary has come. And Father, we pray that we would hide ourselves in thee. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. But as we look into the book of Job, and those of you that might not understand the book of Job, Job was a man over there that God had appointed for a trial. And I want you to realize that as we find over there, it said over there in Job chapter 1, it said, now there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before God, and Satan came also unto them. And I want you to know today, before I get into the message, did you know that the devil comes to church every Sunday? He won't miss a Sunday, I don't care. You can schedule it any way you want to, but the devil comes among the people of God, and he's ever present over there. If you don't believe that, you wait and let him pinch a baby here after a while and make it cry. Amen. Or you wait until something happens over there. The devil is ever present with the sons of God. And, you know, that's a fact of life that we have to put up with. Even in church, do we have to put up with him? But I want you to realize today that we find over there that Job was going about living a life of a perfect dead. Did you know that he got up every morning and made sacrifices for his 10 children? Just in case that something might have happened. Just in case one of them might have done. But he might got up daily and done sacrifice for his 10 children. We find over there that Job was a man that lived for the Lord. And Job was a man, and the Bible said he was a man of integrity. And how that he came about over there, and it come one day over there that the devil and God said, I want you to note this. And he said, the Lord God, this Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, and a huge evil. And Satan said to the Lord, doth not Job fear naught for thee? And he said, you turn him over to me. You take your hedge of protection around. You let me work my way in his life over there, and I'll have him curse you to your face. Job was a man who had learned a valuable lesson. Job was a man over there that could worship the Lord when his whole world had fell apart. The Bible says he was the richest man of the East. The Bible says over there that in a one-day period of time, his whole life changed. You know, that can come to any of us. That will come to you. You know, one call from the doctor can change your life, can't it? One bad test coming back can change your life. Driving that compact car and meeting a Mack truck head on, that can change your life. But as we find over there, he was a man who could still worship when his whole world had caved in. You know, I see a lot of folks over there, when they get hard luck in life, they just give up on life. Matter of fact, if they ain't real careful, they'll pull within themselves and start dying a little bit at a time. Oh, but Job was a man over there that lost, can you imagine just for a moment, not one casket at church, but 10. 7 boys, 3 girls, taken out by a tornado. Says that the building that he's in, a various wind came up and it collapsed upon him. Then all your wealth gone, wiped out, bankrupt. How many folks ever had a bull? I ain't never had but one. I don't want no more. A bull will come up. And it might be as little as the end of your finger, but it'll feel like an aching basketball that will never, ever go away. And the Bible says that he was stricken from the crown of his head to his toe with balls. God, being the God that was a sense of humor, left him a nagging wife on top of all that. Yeah, he had a bad day. He had a bad day. The Bible says over there in Job chapter 1 and verse 20, and when Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down on the ground and worshiped him. After all this had happened, his most important thought was, I need to go worship God. Hey, how many of us today could come around and worship God when all these things happen and come about and bow over there? The Bible says that there were three friends came over there to comfort him. And I'm going to tell you, if I had three friends like Job, I'll just be unfriendly. The Bible says that they came and put ashes, just like Job. They went 7 days and never said a word. They went 7 days and never communicated. And when they got to talking about that, hey, listen, I had friends over there. They said, Job, you're just no hypocrite. They said, Job, you're a liar. They said, Job, you've done something over there because no way that God would allow such things to happen if you're as good as you think you are. You're a hypocrite. Boy, I like that bedside manner, don't you? Hey, listen, if we ain't real careful sometimes, church, we'll play the role of the friends, amen?
That's right, amen.
Huh? And you know, the Bible, by the way, says all good things happen to them that love the Lord. No, that must be one of them other versions. No, it's not all good things happen to the Lord. All things worketh to the good to them that love the Lord. That don't mean that good things always happen. That don't mean over there, but the things that are happening is for your good. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
They're for your good. God knows. God has the infinite wisdom over there. And we find over there that as they discuss this, and they discuss this over there, that we come to these questions. And what are these questions? Well, one of them is in Job chapter 14 and verse 10. And I'll tell you, if you want to be settled in life today, you need these questions answered in your life. What was the three things that when his whole world had caved in and everybody seemed to be against him. As a matter of fact, he had a wife who said, "Why don't you just go ahead and curse God and be done with it?" So God just key. He has no one. Thank God he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you even unto the end." Thank God that there's one over there. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll be with us. Thank God over there that there's one over there that is closer than a brother. Thank God that there's one over there that will never leave you nor forsake you. This was the question. But if a man dieth and wasteth away, yea, a man giveth up the ghost, where is he? Would y'all like the answer to that? Job wanted the answer to it. I want the answer to it. And I'm glad you asked because Jesus gave us the answer. John chapter 14 and verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," and right here's the key word to that, we leave it out, "where I am here." I'm glad that it's not here, but it's going to be there. That where I am here, ye may be also. Well, that's a good answer, ain't it? I'm glad the Apostle Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, he said this, "We are confident." How many of y'all need some confidence in the times we're living in? He said, "I am confident to say and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Does that make you feel good about what's happening here today? Hey, we give so much thought to the cemetery. Hey, I've had people just to get plumb fuzzed up on me over the cemetery. Amen. Hey, if you want a bad job in church, put you over the cemetery.
Well, they put him too close to me. My great, 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 great grandchildren might want to be buried over there. And it don't matter what you do, it's going to be wrong. I don't care if somebody ain't going to be happy. So if you want to, if you're happy and you know it, and you want some sadness in your life, we'll put you over the cemetery. Matter of fact, I'm over the cemetery. Me and Dinah, because nobody else won't have it. Amen. But we put so much thought and so much preparation to a place over there that's nothing other than a housing for remains. If a man die, where is he? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, your last breath here is your first breath somewhere else. He told the Philippian church over in Philippians 1:23, he said, "For I am in a strait between two, having the desire to part and to be with Christ." Now listen at this, which is much better. I'm telling you today, you need to have that settled in your mind. Because it'll drive you crazy otherwise. Hey, listen, as we think about it, no wonder the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice at the death of one of his saints. Why is that? We don't have to have these old fleshly problems. We don't have to have these old mortal things over there. But the greatest example of this is Luke chapter 16. Bible says there was two fellers over there. One of them was a rich man. One of them was Lazarus. And it said over there that Lazarus, he went and begged for the crumbs off of the rich man's table. And he done that daily over there. And it said one day that they both died. And it said that when they died over there, that the angels in heaven went and carried Lazarus into the bosom of Abraham. And it said the rich man was buried. There's a difference in being carried away, and there's a difference in being buried today. Amen. I want you to realize today, listen, if you ain't going to amen me, I'm going to do it myself. But we see over there that we find over there that that rich man, he said he looked up from hell. That he said over there, and he looked up from hell, and he was very conscious about what was going on over there, and he was very conscious about where he was at over there, and he said, "Send thy servant over here that he might dip his finger in water, and that he might come and parch the first part. I am a torment in this place I'm in." And he said, "I got one request of you. I've got brothers up there." He said, if you'd let me go back up there and tell them about this place called hell, that they won't end up in this place right here. Could you do that for me?" He said, "No, if they believe not the word of God and believe not the prophets, neither will they believe one who was raised from the dead."
Amen.
Lazarus up there in the bosom of Abraham, being comforted up there. And I'm glad to tell you today, the Bible says there's a great gulf fixed between the two, heaven and hell, which no man shall cross. I'm glad Jesus answered that question that Job asked. Beloved, I want you to realize today that it is far better. Now let's talk about the second question that Job asked, and that we're going to find out in verse 14. "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait for my change to come." Beloved, I want you to realize today that if a man die, shall he live again? Jesus tells us that the unsaved will be in a resurrection unto damnation. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says over there, and in the Amplified New Testament, I like the way they put it over there. It said they're raised to meet their sentence. Amen. They're raised to meet their sentence. I want to tell you something. You know, you go over here, and Brother Bobby's in here. He's a sheriff over there, and Sister Tessa back there, she's a judge. They know more about this, but I'm the preacher. Now, if I tell it wrong, you can help me out a while. But it's my understanding that, and Brother Eddie here stays in jail all the time. Y'all write us on the World Wide Web and we'll tell you what kind of congregation we've got here. But my understanding is over there that, you know, a lot of times you might be guilty of something and they'll have you locked up in jail, but until you have a trial, you're not sentenced. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you think today that all that you're going to happen is one day you're going to die and you're going to burn up and that's going to be it, you're going to have eternal damnation and they're going to be life. And what you're going to have over there, you're going to have eternal consciences over there, and you will die, and you will go to hell that quick. The Bible says there'll be a day that you'll be raised up and judged. You're going to be held there in hell, but one day you're going to be sentenced. Amen? I'm glad that the great judge is a fair judge. He's a just judge. And I'm glad today. And hey, listen. I'm here to tell you today that we're all guilty. Amen? Amen. There is not an innocent person in the whole wide world. I want you to realize today, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says over there that we're all found guilty over there. And I'm glad to tell you today that I'm going to be tried one of these days, but I've got the best attorney. I've got the good counselman. I've got the one over there that has washed my record clean. Amen. Hey, when they look at my name over there, all the things I've done and all the things that I did not do and all these things over there, when they open up the books, they're going to look at bloodstains. Yes. Why is that? Because my sin was taken care of at Calvary. My sin has been blotted out. There's nothing I can do in this life that'll add to that. There's nothing that I can say that will make it any better over there than what Jesus Christ has already done at Calvary's cross. Amen. So if a man dies, shall he live again? Yes. Oh, yes. Daniel stated, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We all think about leaving a legacy, amen. Why will you be remembered? What will you be remembered for? Hey, listen, the only legacy I want to leave is in heaven, amen. The only legacy I care about, I hope that everybody in the world talks about me when I leave, because if they're talking about me, they'll be giving someone else a break. Amen. Hey, as long as my legacy's in heaven, my name I know is written down. I'm not only on the book of life, but my name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. And when I get there, he'll know my name. That's all that matters to me. In the book of Revelation, John said this. He said, I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the dead in hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works. Did you know, born again, child of God, saved by the precious blood today, the only judgment that you'll ever receive will be for reward's sake. Why is that? Because your sins were totally done away with at Calvary. And I don't care how good you live. I don't care how bad you live. You cannot add one thing to what Jesus Christ has already done at Calvary's cross. See, I happen to believe in the efficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. I happen to believe over there that Jesus Christ done it all at Calvary. Now let's look at the last question. The Bible shows us over there, if you will, turn with us to Job chapter 25. Now I want to fill in just a little bit over there because this don't have anything to do with anything. But I want you to realize that God had to break Job's pride. Did Job have pride? Yes, Job had pride. And if you'll look in chapter 19, if you'll look in chapter 20, and you'll look in chapter 21, he uses the word I or me or mine 195 times. Now that sounds like somebody that's full of themselves, don't it? That sounds like somebody that's got pride. And you know what happened over there? God said, Job, you've asked me some questions. I'm going to ask you some questions. He said, where were you when I hung the sun?
Amen.
Where were you when I spoke it into being? He said, can you talk to an owl? Or no, it ain't an owl. It is an owl over there. Can you speak to an eagle and the eagle speak back? Can you understand that? Can you imagine how bum-fuzzled Job must have felt when God got to asking him questions? How humbling that must have been. And after he is put in his place, and after he is humbled by God, and after God gets to asking him some questions, he has one more question to ask. And that is in Job chapter 25 and verse 4. Job chapter 25 and verse 4. How can a man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of woman? That's his question. Jesus answered it so well in John chapter 14 and verse 6. When he said this, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, if you want to be justified today, that's your answer right there. And you say, preacher, explain that justification just for a moment. Well, I'm glad you asked. What is justification? Just, listen, let's all say it together. Just as if it never happened. Well, that's good, ain't it? To be just as if it never happened. You know, you can beat yourself up about things and you can realize that your whole world's turned upside down. Things will never be right. But I'm going to tell you today that Jesus Christ can make it right. And I'm running out of time. But I want to read to you out of the book of Romans. Somebody said schedules are made to be broke. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 says this. For being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By his grace we're justified. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says this. That much more then being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. So we find that we become justified by grace and blood. And look, if you will, at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you all know how you get justified, by grace, by blood, and by faith. Y'all come on, get a song. There's somebody here that's not at peace. And you need the justification that comes only by the blood of Jesus, by having faith which produces grace. Amen? For there's no other way. You know, I'd like for folks to walk out of here whole today. And I pray that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord today, so that you may be justified with God and that you may go to live with Him. See, the reason that Jesus Christ died on the cross was that you might be justified to the Father. Are you with me? That you might be justified. In other words, you will be made worthy. Not of anything you've done, but what Jesus has already done. And there's someone who needs that today. Will you come as we sing? Y'all come on. You might need to come and pray. Hey, listen, church. We're getting ready to... I know that Mary's world is caved in, and I know that you love her. If nothing else, you come to this altar and you pray for our service today, and you pray that God's grace is... I'll tell you, she's in turmoil. We just went up there and stayed to last night with her some over there, and she puts on a real good face. But I can see beyond that. Y'all pray, church. Y'all come on. God bless you. I love you today. What are we singing? 105, please stand as we sing. Y'all come on. Come on.